Following presentation is rated X for extremely stupid. There is no nudity, no graphic violence, and no sex. Babu will probably get lots of things wrong, and Dina will see the words shit, piss, and fuck a lot.
Surprise, motherfucker!
Name of our band. Sweaty ass crap.
What, it was Fuck Tarts?
Fuck Tarts? Fuck Tards or Fuck Tarts?
Fuck Tarts.
Fuck Tarts.
We could all be gender fluid.
Gender fluid?
You've not heard that one yet? Cocoa. We could all be gender fluid.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, fluid from the from a gender.
No, gender fluid. You've not heard that one yet?
No.
Oh, God.
Gender fluid.
So a lot has happened in the world since we last recorded.
But, is that like the fact that we're white, cis, privileged?
gender fluid is some days you're a girl, some days you're a boy, some days you're both, some days you're neither.
Oh no, I identify as Spartan. Some days I go around with abs, dressed in, well, not with abs, but dressed in the little Spartan get-up. Some days I identify as Showgirl. It's a movie from the 90s with Elizabeth Berkley where she gets her baps out. Some days I like to get my baps out, so I identify as Showgirl. Coco identifies as a young black woman. He is doing it for himself. And he don't need no man.
And he's also the leader of Britain First.
What? You're no friend of mine, Coco. Get out.
Let's just look at hashtags on fucking trending topics.
On Facebook or on Twitter?
I'm on Facebook. Jeremy Kyle viewers are stunned by show's prettiest ever guest.
She's all right. She's got a nice nose. I know that's a way that... Sorry, I saw it. The one that got me was Jim Carrey calling... The Californian governor a corporate fascist because of mandatory vaccinations. He's like the last person in the world to be giving medical advice. I love Jim Carrey. And
No, the last person in the world is Jenny McCarthy.
It's because they used to date. Because they used to go out, he became a really strong anti-vaxxer. But now all the proof that's come out that, yeah, of course vaccinations help fight measles and childhood diseases, he thinks it causes autism. It's just because her son is autistic and she was looking for a reason other than genetics. What a cunt. I hate it when people are like, do stupid shit.
He's actually,
fuck you, Jim Carrey.
He's grown a beard now, hasn't he? He looks like Bruce Campbell. A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh my god. You know, it was a show and it's a spin-off, like Xena, but it's not nothing. It's like made by the same company. Bruce Campbell's in the lead. And it's like a swashbuckling. It went two seats series. Damn it. If I can find my keyboard, I'll find the theme song is a musical number. Like, look up like The Adventures of Jack Swift, Bruce Campbell. Coco, what have you done with my fucking keyboard?
Are you sure this is a thing and you haven't just imagined it?
No, I maybe. Jack of all trades. That was it, sorry. YouTube the intro to Jack of All Trades. This show looks awesome. It got cancelled after two series. We really need to do a TV spin-off, don't we? Because we end up talking about TV a lot.
But this might have to be the intro to the show.
1801, the revolution had been won, and Uncle Sam's favourite son had a job he needed done.
Which brought Jack to a lady, both beautiful and smart, who found his mix intriguing.
A scoundrel with a heart. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, there was never a Levitic graver, a daring dragoon is he. Napoleon's attack. There ain't a French or pirate who don't. No,
the boat right next to ya.
Damn right.
Oh, we're Douglas. There we go.
We're Douglas.
Douglas. I'm Douglas.
Hello and welcome to the Totally Insane Tape Show. I am joined by Douglas.
What?
Douglas.
Blood.
Douglas. And Douglas shit. Lamont.
We try that again.
Nah, fuck it. I'm Dino Peppers. There you go. That's the intro.
And then look into my dark place. It's me. It's Daggy. No, it's Boo Lamont. And yeah, it's been a while.
Been too long. Sorry, I've been writing a script. Yep, short story. Long story short, yeah.
Long story short story.
Long story short story. Yeah, I decided that, like, after the last show, which went horribly, horribly wrong, while we got like an hour and a half into it and the computer just crashed on me, it was like, oh, God.
It was the best show we'd ever done, ladies and gentlemen. You would have fucking loved it.
Yeah, that, and I was trying to do video editing and the video wouldn't edit in a certain program, so I had to transfer it to another program to edit. It's like having to do so much work to just do like a 10-minute video as well. Too much for me.
Basically, the computer looked at you with one red eye and went, I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dino.
Yeah. And I looked at my list of things to do for the year and I hadn't achieved any of them, so yeah, we had to have some time off. Currently halfway through writing a 120-page script, hopefully. And I thought I'd pop my head up and do a quick podcast with Mr. Boo.
It's the movie.
It's the movie of my life.
let's not get everyone excited about a tits movie. That's way off. That's like 12 seasons and a movie.
So have you watched anything recently or had anything interesting happen in your life?
I wouldn't say much as interesting has happened in my life. I've had a couple of offers of broadcast work that may or probably may not happen, but always interested in getting into something. But yes, I've definitely been watching movies recently. I've been on a kind of new film kick. I've gone out on my way and seen a couple of films that I would never generally see, including the latest Disney movie. And I'm not a Disney fan, generally, but really enjoyed the movie I saw.
What is the newest Disney movie?
With the cast, I generally... This new Disney movie, what is it?
Yeah.
It's a live-action movie starring George Clooney called Tomorrowland. Ooh.
I've never heard... Not, oh, Jesus. I've missed so much.
But this movie is really awesome. It's about a child genius. It starts out with the kid. He's a child genius. And they're rounding up all the smartest and brightest people into this city, which is in another dimension called Tomorrowland, where it's all really futuristic gadgets and kind of mixed in with that 1920 to 1940s aesthetic, you know, like The Rocketeer. And yeah, it was really awesome. Completely blew me away. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. It's a long old film, and it's also got good old Hugh Laurie playing the villain of the piece. Probably just gave away a big plot point there. It's got Hugh Laurie in it.
Spoilers.
Fuck! Go and see it anyway. It's really, really good. Yeah, it came out a couple of months ago from when we last recorded. Dropped as well.
So it was Hugh Laurie doing his American accent in it?
Oh, no! It's a mix. It's like a British house.
What accent does he have in house? Because it's the thing, I know people say he's got a good accent. And I've
this guy doing an impression of an American.
Yeah. The thing is, I've seen him do, like, in-house. I can't figure out the accent, but people say it's, like, really good. I don't know.
Apparently, they didn't know who he was when he went in for the audition and he put on an American accent and they actually just thought he was American. And then he went, pip, pip, balderdash, bloody hell, Blackadder, and gave away his real voice. Like.
So, yeah, I've been watching Veep. And have you heard of that show?
It's the American version of The Thick of It?
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't realise until like a couple of episodes in that is it Amanda Onichi was writing it, and
yes.
What's the other guy as well? He's in the show and he's in like, all the panel shows over here. I didn't realise it was them writing it until after like the first couple of episodes. He turns up in, I think it's the fourth season.
Yes, listen to that, fans. It turns out that the number one comedy in America at the moment is written by Brits.
Yeah, Chris Morris writes a couple of episodes.
Of course. God, yeah. They'd love it. I've always wondered how Chris Morris would fare in America. Could we have a Jam USA, maybe?
Yeah, cause I've not seen him do much since Four Lions.
Has he?
No. Nah.
And that's a great movie.
Yeah, I rewatched that recently, actually. There's so many things in there which you've kind of miss first time around. There's just the one line in the background, like, fuck Mini Baby Bell. Second Stitches for ages. But yeah, I managed to get through four seasons of that within a week. So it's a really good show. Because I wasn't actually a fan of the thick of it over here. I'm not sure why.
I find that politics can put you off a very good show. It took me years to watch things like Yes Minister and The Last Statesman, even though I'm a fan of...
New Statesman?
Mail?
Yeah, New Statesman.
Did I say? Last. A bully mistake. We really are that. But politics can put you off things unless you're willing to give it a shot. Like, satire is hard to do if you're not a fan of politics. I used to watch Rory Bremner, and who, for you people that don't know, in the UK, he's an impressionist that mainly works in politics and satire. And I wanted to watch it because it's comedy, but a lot of it was lost on me. And
I think the Rory Bremner show was the one that's on, is it Friday nights, Channel 4, between Cheers, Roseanne, and something like that, or Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's it. And then it became Bread and the Bird and Fortune.
Was it Absolutely, as well, as another one that was on.
I watched that, the Scottish comedy that started off the career of Moenna Banks.
Yep, and the other guys. I just remember the one sketch where they're all in, is it Stony Bridge?
The council, where they're all sitting around the table.
Yeah, that one and the guy used to sit on the toilet and do, like, monologues. That's about it.
You can... still available on Channel 4 On Demand, called All Four.
Is it? Oh, sweet.
Loads of their retro comedy. All of their retro comedies are on there, with the exception of a sketch show called Spoons, which I've never been able to track down. I've watched absolutely all of it again recently. With comedy, a lot of it dates, but it was all right. It was nowhere near as funny as I remember, because I was trying to track down Armstrong and Miller, because I love their BBC show, and it's quite family friendly, where their Channel 4 one, which was just called the Armstrong and Miller Show, opposed to just Armstrong and Miller, was really adult and had quite a bit of nudity, if I remember, from my teen years. Sarah Armstrong, I think, is... married to the Armstrong. And she got her tits out. And a little bit of Mouffet as well. It was titillating for a 12-year-old bully.
Still is. Not much anymore. Sounds like it.
No. I don't know whether you want to keep this on, but I'm actually kind of... I have a lady friend. Route is over. Oh, thank God.
3 years.
Tears.
2 months.
Poor thing. So, not so titillated by tits on comedy shows anymore.
You're not watching your pornos anymore then?
No, I'm still... I love... I saw The Breakfast Club, Triple X, the other day, and it even has a full-length parody of the song Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
You kind of need to, though.
Not the best parody I've seen, but definitely up there. It was a lot less... shameful than the 30 Rock one.
Oh, gee. What? Why?
Oh. Oh,
you got to think that, what's his name? Tracy Morgan's probably in that.
Tracy Jordan. Is the Tracy Morgan's the character. I love her. I do love a bit of 30 Rock. But, there is a 30 Rock porno parody. My lady friend was not aware of parody, so I kind of showed her a still from the Simpsons one, and she just went, no, don't do that, don't ruin the Simpsons for me. And I was like, and Family Guy? No, you don't ruin Family Guy for me. These are all live action. What's weird is I think it's pervy to have like an animated, I'm like, who watches animated porn of like cartoon characters? Yeah, who watches animated when you can watch it live, baby?
I've seen stills of the Simpsons ones. It's just scary.
They pick really weird characters as well. We've probably talked about this before, but obviously the main event is Homer and Marge, which is
That's fair play.
He's like watching your parents. And Mo and Connie Kwan, the number one estate agent side. Yeah,
that is odd.
Yeah, why wouldn't you pick, like, what other attractive female characters are there in The Simpsons other than Marge? I think Marge is attractive, especially with the hair down. I still think it's weird to watch cartoons, fuck, but...
Mrs. Cravapple? No.
Oh, God, no, man. Jesus. What? No? I can't think of any, really. No, do you know what? I think I'm only saying no to Cravapple because I know, you know... go and I'm feeling that, like, oh no, you can't have some respect for the dear. Who, I don't know. What's the reverend's wife called? That's Maud Flanders.
No,
what's the reverend's wife called? Anyway, she's all right for a cartoon character. Are we having this conversation?
Yeah,
when are you gonna hit record, by the way?
Oh, we are,
just so I don't get embarrassed.
Hello, buddy. We're live.
Shit.
So we can get out of this hole you've dug. What do you think of the Simpsons situation they're in at the moment? Well, they're losing Harry Shearer.
They're losing Harry Shearer. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and Marge and Homer are splitting up for the new season.
Yeah. That's just like fucking... They'll be back. They always get back together. One of the hardest things I ever had to watch was Homer read the letter... In the Simpsons movie where Marge is leaving Homer and she writes him a letter. It's one of the hardest scenes to watch in the movie. What do I think of Harry Shearer leaving? I've always stood behind the crew. I've always stood behind the cast and crew because they have brought me a lifetime of entertainment. It's kind of sad, but Simpsons has been with me since I was 6-7 years old. And it's always been an obsession of mine. I just love the Simpsons. So when they were talking about ending it because Fox, we're going back 3 years, maybe 3 years ago, when Fox wouldn't give them 1% of the merchandise, they were going to walk, and they decided to stay for the end, you know, to keep. I honestly said at that point, if they walked, I'm 100% behind them. They've given me a lifetime of happiness. Same goes with Harry Shearer. They wouldn't let him go off and do other projects. The guy is in his, what, 70s now? I know he's an older gentleman. Sorry if you're in your 60s, Harry, or even younger, but, you know, give the guy has been with the show nearly 25, 30 years it's been going.
Yeah, 30 years, isn't it?
Nearly, it's 88, 87. I firmly stand behind the cast and crew. If he wants to go and do other things, then he's going to go and do other things, and he has nothing but my thanks and my respect for all the entertainment. But think of it like this, it's a big blow. We're losing Smithers, Burns, fucking loads of main characters.
So you don't think the series is coming to an end then? With him leaving, it's like the heart of the show, really.
And Castanella's the heart of the show. Without Homer, there is no show. He is.
But you think it's like he's easier to replace?
Sadly, yes. It's like when, and don't let me forget his name, he's one of my heroes. What's wrong with me?
I'm leaving this silence in, by the way.
Brain's gone completely. Phil Hartman, oh my God. One of my comedy heroes, Phil Hartman, when he died, they retired all his characters. Troy McClure was a big one. And loads of side characters as well. They carried on without Phil. And so, me calling him by his first name, Mr. Hartman. So I don't think the loss of any particular one cast member could cause trouble apart from Dan Castellaneta, in all honesty. And maybe Bart. Dudley Smith, is that her name? I always forget her name.
I always get mixed up. I think it's Yardley Smith, yeah. Do you think they can get away with moving town then?
Moving town? No, it's Nancy Cartwright. What am I talking about?
That's the one I get mixed up with.
Yardley Smith was Cravapple, who passed away. Nancy Cartwright, you know. Anyway, no, I don't think they could. There's no point in moving them. You know what I'd like to see for the last few seasons? And this is going completely crazy, but I want to see them age. want to see Bart and Lisa grow older a little bit, and I'd like to see Homer and Marge get older, and because that changes the situation. That changes so many situations. Like, imagine Lisa trying to get her first job, or Bart having to deal with getting some tang without it being like a timepiece where they have to travel in time or they're viewing bits of, you
know. Yeah, I'd say just end it.
What annoys me is people always jump to the, oh, it's not as good as it used to be. Oh, like, oh, season 10 was the best one. And yet, it's not that they're wrong, but it's not better, it's different. It's completely different writers. Every season has different writers. Every, of course, when Conan O'Brien was writing, things were going to be good because he's gone on, we've seen, he's gone on to be, he is a funny person. He's a genuinely funny guy. So why would those not be good? It's just
the last time I watched it, what it was, every episode was like in a different universe or like going to the future or sort of fantastical situations, and you go, well, they're based in real life and they're not doing like those stories anymore. They're just kind of just going.
You say that, but I seem to remember about 15 years ago, didn't Homer go to space? And the only thing that saved them was the rod of uranium.
But still, it's like a rubber band reality. The one I watched was the Lego one. Mm. And then there was one with Homer died and they replaced him with a clone. And then that clone died and he got another clone.
Wasn't that not a Halloween horror episode?
No, I think that was actually like a basic episode.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've seen the recent ones.
I watched a couple, like it was like three in a row. There was the Lego one. I watched two around it, and like one was actually quite funny, and the other two were like meh. But they were all kind of that universe of being really fantastical and out there. I just felt that it's not really the characters they used to have, where it was like based in reality to a certain extent. It was like a rubber band reality of Homer goes to space. Okay, it's unbelievable in reality, but then you got the slight.
Well, kind of right, because there was a recent episode where they were captured by aliens and taken to what was basically like a space zoo, and it wasn't a hallucination from their part. It wasn't a Halloween episode. It was a genuine episode, but. There was a line in it where Homer sees Kodos and Kang and he goes, is it Halloween already? Like, okay, they know.
Yeah. Did they not do a crossover with Futurama at that point?
Did, and they did. They'd done the Futurama crossover, which was okay, but if I don't see Bender in Homer's cellar for every episode they go into the cellar from now on, I'm going to be upset because I'm one of them fanboys. The Futurama one I watched recently, really enjoyed it. Lego one I watched recently, it was okay.
Yeah, that was kind of gimmicky for the sake of it being gimmicky, and I don't think they thought it through that well, because it's like the Lego movie come out and they kind of went with that, and it's just one of those things, they rush it out and it's like, yeah.
You're aware of Lego Dimensions?
No.
New game coming out, it's going to have like elements of The Simpsons
in it.
Hang
on, new game, and you expect me to know about it?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not even just a game, it's a toy. It's one of the ones where you buy the toy, you put it on a little plinth or something, and then it appears on the screen or something happens on the screen. I don't know if you've seen... I doubt you've seen these. Skylanders.
Amigos.
Amigos?
Amigos. Wow. I have no idea. Migos, I know dude. Roughly what you're on about.
They're from the 70s and 60s. I love Migos. I've always wanted to own a modern Migo doll. They did some Venture Bros ones in the Migo style. We are getting into proper nerd territory here. But yeah, The Simpsons is I still love it. I don't think they'll have a problem without Harry Shearer. Talking of animated shows, I was very excited yesterday. Oh, very excited I was. The first two episodes of Rick and Morty season 2 leaked onto the internet, and wherever there's leaking, Boo will be sneaking. And
you leaked in your pants when they come out.
When I saw it there, I was like, liar, you're all lying. And then I clicked and it started playing. I was like, I haven't seen this episode. And that was the noise. It's fantastic.
It is. Really, I watched them this morning, actually.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, they not that I'd ever send anything like that on, but...
Oh, I found them somewhere.
Oh, yes. Excellent.
Possibly the same place you found them.
Yeah.
In a Dropbox.
Dropbox?
Yeah, Dropbox. But yeah, good episodes. I think they out Futurama, in terms of the science side of things. But they go to alternative realities and...
I was trying to explain it to someone yesterday. I said it is like Futurama, but like an adult Futurama.
Yeah, because the way they work it with the first episode with different timelines, or I don't know what you'd call it actually.
Yeah, that was when really they went bizarre. Into like 16th and then 20th, and I was like, oh man. But yeah, it was about being unsure. But Rick and Morty is it's really weird how it started out. It was meant to be a Back to the Future. Parody. It was meant to be Rick and Marty, as in Marty McFly. Doc and Marty, sorry, it's meant to be called Doc and Marty. Okay. Rick and Morty. It's grown on me amazingly during rewatches. I mean, it's sad at times, it's scientific at times. I think, following on from what I was saying about Tomorrowland, I think I'm really getting into or have. I've already really got into like sciencey stuff because I've always loved like Futurama, stuff like Rick and Morty, Tomorrow World, and it's all those alternative worlds and like fantastic gadgets. That's what sells it to me because the guys that haven't seen Rick and Morty, Rick is a scientist who can basically make anything. That's the level of his genius. He can make a device that does anything, and they go around space and a homemade flying craft, and they have various adventures. And it's like, I'm loving the science thing. I think that's my new. A new taste. Even Venture Bros as well, of course, is all about super scientists. So there's a graphic novel, I cannot remember the name of it, where they're like super scientists and they're treated like the Beatles. They're like the Fab Four and they're like as revered as the Beatles, but instead of music they do science. Heard of this one?
No.
I don't remember who wrote it. Yeah, I'm loving the science.
So have you seen the Channel 4 show Humans yet?
No, this is based on the Swedish...
Yeah, Swedish show. I'm not even going to try and attempt to say...
It's called Yurdy Gurdy Murdy Humans. And a big hello to all our fans in Sweden.
Essentially, it translates into real humans. I saw the Humans trailer... on Channel 4, thought it looked good, so I checked online and found out about Real Humans. So I watched like all two seasons of that, and then I decided to watch the Channel 4 version afterwards.
Was it? Let me guess, not as good as the original.
Yeah, it's...
That is the way though, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it's... you kind of watch the Swedish version, it's very bright, and it's set in a... not alternative universe, but like a... parallel one where it's like we're at the same stage really technology wise apart from the whole android humans. They're the only different thing really in that reality, so it's based in reality but with these androids in it, and the Swedish one's full of hope and like these things can help us out, and when they go wrong it's kind of a big deal. In the British one it's kind of just dark and almost gritty-ish, kind of. It just doesn't fit. It's like they're all like, oh, I don't like these androids. That's pretty much all everyone...
Bastard simulants!
Like yeah, and they've cut down the amount of characters in it, and the story development-wise is... It's not going to happen the same way the Swedish one does, where it's like that some of them want to be humans, and other ones are like full-on killing machines, kind of they're programmed to be like that. Whereas the British one have cut down the amount of characters, so the one that wants to be a human in the Swedish one, like they want to settle down and have a family, kids, and like have a normal human life in the British one, that character's been melded with the one who's a killing machine, so it's like, it doesn't really work.
I'm up for watching it because anyone that knows me knows I love a good anthology, and The Outer Limits had a series of episodes about these... androids. I don't know, the first episode was called Valerie 23, and it ended up with her wanting to fall in love with her master and all this kind of stuff, but They had this series, I think it was like 4 episodes in different series, they would talk about androids, and they were all really, really interesting.
Yeah, it's possible I've got the idea from that, or like Twilight Zone episode maybe, same sort of thing. It's like that whole idea of what if androids, I mean, Blade Runner is a kind of possibly an influence on the whole thing of what makes an android a human being if they've got a consciousness kind of thing.
Did you hear that recently scientists made an android dream of electric sheep? That's not even me doing like a Philip K. Dick joke. I read an article and it said, do androids dream of electric sheep? Yes, they do. And then someone had said they'd implanted this image into like an AI or something, answering the question, do androids dream of electric sheep? Yep, if you put it there.
So he doesn't really dream of it, it's kind of just implanted and put there. Yeah.
But maybe our dreams are just no, they're not.
But yeah, if it's a case of real humans versus humans on the TV front, real humans, definitely watch it if you can stand reading while watching something.
If you can't, stop listening to our show and go and watch some goddamn subtitled movies, because them foreigners are making better movies than us, Westerners a lot of the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of Swedish shows that sort of come out, and they're being remade. And that's the thing with humans, what do you call it, sold off. I know there's another word for it, but yeah, it was sold off to other countries, and there's going to be 50 different versions of that show.
What is the word? Not licensed. Yeah, I know what you mean. Commissioned.
Yeah, I know. Commissioned? Yeah, something like that.
That'll do.
Syndication.
Yes.
I think that's the word, yeah.
Syndication.
Yeah, so there's going to be 50 different versions of it. There's going to be like a Korean version of it, Australian version of it. I think the British version is produced with America. So this one's going over to America, so it's kind of got the Western values to it. But all the characters are a bit, I don't know, not nice people. But she got, what's her name from the It crowd in it? Catherine Parkinson?
The woman.
Yeah, not much. And she can only play that one character.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to say, she doesn't seem to be in a lot of stuff.
She's in the teasers adverts.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. With it blowing the straw with the fucking...
Yeah, I think there's a reason why she's not in a lot of stuff.
Oh, she's all right in the It crowd. I may not agree with a lot of his opinions on things, but what's his name? The guy that wrote it, he knows comedy.
Graham Linehan.
Well, Graham Linehan knows good comedy, and he knows good, like, he always manages to pull it together with his cast. This is, I've had to separate my love of people's product with them recently a lot because of, like we were saying earlier about Jim Carrey. I love Jim Carrey. I love his early work on In Living Colour. I love his movies. I love his funny movies. I love his serious movies. But for fuck's sake, man. That anti-vaccinations with the children. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only way you can enjoy Mel Gibson films, really.
Every time I see Mel Gibson now, I just remember him from South Park.
Kablam!
Oh, my nipples are so hard. You want to torture me, little piggy? You want to torture me?
Just driving the truck. Actually, speaking of Mel, I watched the Mad Max trilogy recently.
How awesome is the Mad Max trilogy? Well, how awesome is one? How good is one? How brilliant is two? How did you find three?
Yeah, as you say, one, it's kind of the cheap exploitation film. Like a simple revenge horror type deal. Good film.
Midnight Rider!
Yeah, number two is better than the first one. Sort of taking it further into the future, pretty much, and kind of building a landscape of what the next films would be. Third film. See, I just thought everyone hated this film. Because everyone I spoke to said they had the same opinion to me in terms of it wasn't that good apart from the start, where they're in Bartertown. And I always remember like watching the film and thinking, yeah, the Bartertown bit was good, but then the bits with the kids at the end was a bit off and didn't make sense. And then you watch it back, and yeah, I didn't like any of it. Even the bit at the start with the Thunderdome and
No, that's the only good. Sorry, the only good bit is Master Blaster.
No, that's terrible.
Which is how I used to feel when Wee Man was on my shoulders. Two man enter, one man leave.
See, I thought everyone used to hate it, and then I read online a couple of reviews, and like it's apparently quite loved by like critics and stuff. I don't know why. Because watching it back, it's like even the start with Bartown is like it doesn't make any sense in terms of the character development from the first two.
Yeah.
Because you watch the first two, and it's like he's in the car, and he doesn't kill anybody outside of the car very much. Maybe one or two people, but it's like he's not like this big tough guy. He goes out and picks fights with people, and in the third one, he suddenly becomes he's like carrying loads of weapons and beating people up, hand to hand kind of deal. And it doesn't fit the character from the first two, so I absolutely hate the third one. I had to keep stopping it to sort of get my breath back and go, oh, I need to finish this. It was a really hard watch.
Need another hero.
Yeah, it's only like an hour and 40 minutes maybe, but it felt like 3-4 hours. It's just terrible for me.
The thing for me is Mad Max 2 was part of my formulative... Is that the right word? Formulative years? Where that made me into those kind of films. Must have been 11 or 12. I probably told this story on the Tokyo Insane Tape Show before, but I caught it 5 minutes into it. Like, I'd missed the beginning. I didn't know what the film was. I didn't know the name of the film. I didn't know anything about it. I came home and the TV on, there it was, and it was playing, and I was hooked from the minute I saw the cars, the main bad guy, who for some reason I keep calling the Kurgan, even though he's not the Kurgan, the guy whose missus gets killed, and he goes absolutely nuts, and he's, in my opinion, he's the main bad guy, but really he's not Lord Humongous, he's like Lord Humongous's sidekick. That guy, as soon as I saw him, that left such a mark on me that really did help formulate my opinion and my taste in movies. But everything, to the feral kid throwing his silver boomerang, to the gyro pilot, there's so much stuff to remember. And even like the women dressed in like really 80s style tracksuits, and like headbands, but in post-apocalyptia. I don't know, like it just, and then. Excuse me, and then the epic line, you want to live? Talk to me. Or you want to get out of here? Talk to me. Well, it changed me, that movie. That was one of the most important. The fact that I remember the night that I saw it for the first time as well, yeah, it really did have an influence. There was a time when I think I was 11 or 12 where I saw a series of movies, The Road Warrior, Mad Max 2, Dawn of the Dead, Videodrome, Scanners. That was the turning point where I went from liking summer blockbusters like Independence Day and Batman Forever, because that's what was up, you know, in the 90s, those were the big summer movies. And I think that's when I went, actually, what I've been watching is shit. This is a good movie. That is just entertainment. That's purely chewing gum for the eyes, as my erstwhile friend Mr. David Davis says. Yeah, saw the first one, was freaked out by the burnt body the first time I saw it, not so much any time after that. And it was more the idea of it. You don't see the wife get killed, you don't see the wife and child get killed, you see his reaction. But you do see some people get killed, but it's mainly the big car crashes and the flipping over the car and that kind of thing. And then obviously Mad Max 3, it's like a different creature. What happened to the world what happened from the world in the first one to become the world in the third one? I mean, it's such a big difference.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the first one was a fuel crisis, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the original story was around the idea of what if that whole resource ran out completely and the world turns to chaos because there's essentially no power. The second one takes that along further. And in the third one, it suddenly, we're checking people for radiation. It's like, so what happened? Did they drop a bomb at some point?
How did you build this Thunderdome so quickly? This kind of city looks like it would take 20 or 30 years to establish.
Yeah, and it's running on big shit. Yeah, it doesn't make sense in terms of the whole story. And then you watch if you watch them all back to back, the character development doesn't fit the third one. I did all that because of the new film Fury Road.
Fury Road,
which I still haven't seen.
Neither have I. why I chose to see Tomorrowland instead, I'll never know, but I'm glad I did. I am really looking forward to it. It's George Miller again. There's a really good documentary called Not Quite Hollywood, which I highly recommend. Yay! Which is about the Australian movie industry, going back to Mad Max. Before that, they were doing kind of gory exploitation films. There's a Razorback.
Oh, Ozploitation.
Ozploitation, thank you. There's stuff like Razorback, which is about a giant mutated warthog that's chasing these people. Is it called The Wilderness or The Outback? There's a horror movie where nature suddenly turns against these two people. Like every animal and where they, like everything is trying to kill them. There is so many good Australian horror films, believe it or not. This movie tells us all about it, and it features a lot of George Miller. Obviously, Miller has gone on to make this new Mad Max. In fact, did he make the first two and the last one, or did he make all of them?
I think he's been on board for all of them.
It's just that Thunderdome's so different to the other three, out of the four. I've been told Fury Road's fantastic. However, we can open this little can of worms. I read on the internet that there were male rights activists complaining that they'd taken the movie Mad Max and made it all about a character called Furiosa. Now, I know you were writing stuff online about this recently. I haven't seen the movie, so I can't judge. But it doesn't have to be about the main character. The movie can focus on a character and have more interesting side characters. It's like I said, for me, Mad Max 2, it was about the feral kid. It was about the gyro pilot. It was about the people in the city. It was about the bad guy.
Pretty much, it's like like Batman films.
They're about the villains.
Batman. He's kind
it's
of
about
the main
the villains.
Hero. Yeah.
Of course.
But that's it. He's the character in it. He's holding the story together. It's told from possibly his perspective of things. So in terms of Fury Road being about someone else, but he's there, I'm fine with that, because Mad Max wasn't, in the first two films, like the big tough guy. He was kind of doing stuff because he wanted revenge. He wasn't going out there. He's like an Arnold Schwarzenegger film where he's the big muscly guy. He's going to go beat everyone up.
I think that's why I like the character.
He's like the everyman kind of.
It's a reluctant badass. He doesn't want to be that guy. He just wants peace and quiet. He just wants to chill with the dog. But he can't, because they won't leave him alone. So it's down to him to take action. And I've always liked that. It's not like I'm Mad Max and I'm going to blow you away, motherfucker. It's
I think that's what a lot of people sort of mistook it for. Is like, it needs to be about Mad Max and Mad Max, this big, tough hero. It's like, well, no, he's not really. He's got the guy in a situation just trying to survive.
He was a family man. Yeah. He was an average cop with a nice family. Like, that was his job.
I think the thing that's come out now is because the film was so the feminist kind of I'm not going to say the feminists.
Don't
the feminist
it.
Movement kind of took Furiosa on as being like this role model, and the film become every review you read that wasn't by a professional reviewer was a case of yes, it has this big it's very positive on the feminist front. It become about that rather than saying, well, was the film any good? That's all I wanted to know. But then they
did you see? go on. Then I'll remember to say this.
Well, they released a comic book afterwards, which was about Furiosa and the wives, and they said it wasn't an origin story of the character. It was like about the story they tell before the film Mad Max, and they told the story in it that everyone complained it was a bit rapey, and so the group of people who liked the film because of that one character turned against the people making the comic books. I said, well, we don't want to see our character be put in this position like this or written like this. So it kind of lost a lot of the fan base in terms of the storytelling from the comic book to the big screen. So I don't know. Well, not a lot of people are going to read the comic book anyway, because it's the comic book market.
Yeah.
A lot of people who watched the film wouldn't realise there was actually a comic book based on the character. But everyone who read it was kind of a case of, well, it's a bit rapey and it shows women in the negative light because they're all bitching about each other and arguing with each other, and she's not the character we want to see. I think the bit you're saying about I was writing about was my argument. Well, if you didn't like it, write your own thing. Which is fair enough.
That makes sense.
It's like it's a comic book. Just go out and do your own thing. Tell the story you want to tell. Show people it, and which got completely ignored by everybody. So yeah, fuck you all.
Well, what was driving me mad recently? I have a couple of good ones, actually. Well, first of all, there was an article about why Jurassic World is less feminist Jurassic Park.
I did see that one, yeah.
That drives me nuts. It's a film about fucking dinosaurs. Why do you have to bring gender politics into literally everything? That annoyed me. Especially since in the first film, all the dinosaurs are females. So if anything, it's actually a stance on anti-males.
But feminist dinosaurs didn't have a voice.
Stand up for your dino rights. the one that's got me at the moment. I got embroiled in a hell of a Twitter. I got a lot of hate on Twitter for this. Did you see Rose McGowan's tweet about a certain movie she was offered she was offered an audition for?
Oh, for the
the Adam Sandler situation.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So she had put this thing where she was basically slagging off, you know, the Adam Sandler cast and call because they were asking for attractive women in push-up bras, which is what the role probably called for. I said to her, sorry, didn't you appear naked on camera like just last year? Like, what's the difference? And genuine question, no rudeness, no swearing. The feminist army got on top of me. But I did make a feminist fall in love with me by smooth talking. That was hilarious. I was getting grief left, right and centre. Misogyny. I was just like, it's not misogyny. Like, it's the same as like Magic Mike. They went, can we have casting call for Magic Mike? Doesn't matter if you're fat, doesn't matter if you're ugly. Come and have an audition to be a male stripper in Magic Mike. What I mean, like, that's what the role called for. And you know, I've always got a soft spot for Mr. Sandler, especially since we did our epic Adam Sandler retrospective, available now wherever the Token Saints Ape Show podcast is available. Get it on your iPods, people.
Yeah, I like that show.
Yeah, I like that show. Yeah. It's almost as good as the Pauly Shore one. The Weasel.
That's my favourite.
We don't get a lot of love on Twitter. Pauly Shore has only retweeted one of my things. Adam Sandler doesn't do anything on Twitter at all. And Samoa Joe, well. Joe, we got a lot of respect for you. We know you listen to the show. However, dude, if you ever want to come on, just send us a private message. I know you were following Dean on Twitter. I know you're going to be following me very soon.
No. It's because of his big sausagey fingers.
I'm a fan of his work, but Jesus, man, get a sense of humour. We were just joshing.
Want to answer a question?
What's Abby want to know?
What about 4 being the new Ghostbusters secretary?
There was no Ghostbusters. go on.
That's it.
That's fine. Have Chris Hemsworth in there. It's not Ghostbusters. We know it's not Ghostbusters. He's not playing Janine. Melissa McCarthy's not playing the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, even though that is the only character she should technically be playing. I'm not going to watch this movie. I couldn't give a fuck anymore. In fact, if anything, it's put me off Ghostbusters, and I think that's a horrible, horrible thing to happen. But I'm just not a fan anymore. Like, I give such a little shit about this movie now that it's ruined. And as I've said, I love the rest of the cast as well. That's the problem. But it's still a Ghostbusters movie, and I'm going to watch it, and I'm not going to. I'll ask Dave what he thought, and he'll probably say it was great. I don't care. There's no one actor in it that's going to get me to watch it. See?
You're all raged out, aren't you?
You're going to make me cry.
No, there's no more anger for the Ghostbusters.
Literally, my anger's gone because I just know, because I can't stop it, and because there's nothing I can do about it, it exists. It's either being filmed or it has finished filming.
I think they've only just started, haven't they?
It's got precious little to do with the original trilogy, and if I wanted a Ghostbusters movie, I'd want it to have, you know, the Ghostbusters in it. The Ghostbusters being Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. When Harold Ramis died, my wants for a sequel died with it. So, as Dave said, he'd rather have this than nothing. I disagree. I'd rather have the memories kept intact.
Leave the memories alone.
Basically, it's like going back and shagging an ex-girlfriend who you thought was the best shag in the world, and it really turned out that she had a penis. Didn't know I was going to go that way.
In so many ways, that sentence.
Oh, I'm all raged out. I'm all raged out. I don't care about the movie anymore. I'm not going to give it any publicity. I'm not going to go and watch it, just as much as I wouldn't watch a film like Pitch Perfect 2. I don't watch female-centric comedies because they're not made for me. They're made for females. Males can watch them. It's like, there's a couple of like female comedies that I really like. An ex-girlfriend took me to... made me take her to, I think it was like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or something like that. It was fine. I had another ex-girlfriend made me go and watch The Proposal with Sandra Bullock. I liked it. Betty White was amazing in it. But this movie isn't for me. This movie's not made for me. It's not made for fans of Ghostbusters. It's not made for kids of the 80s. It's made for modern women who want to see this movie and, you know, all power to them. Enjoy a movie. Might have ruined it for some of us, but I can't stop it. So, see, I've grown as a man, and in my opinions, we'll take a shit in the cinema if I ever get dragged there. Though. Like that. But straight in the middle. I apologise to all people that work in the cinema. It's going to be a lot.
Wasn't you saying the last show we actually put up that taking a piss in the cinema was bad?
Bad. Because you missed the movie, or because the people have got to clean it up, I don't know.
No, there was a question like, is it acceptable to take a piss while watching the movie into, say, the big gigantic cups you get?
I don't know what I said then, but I will say then, I will say now even.
Unless it's Ghostbusters.
Go for a piss. If it's Ghostbusters, go for a nice lengthy shit, have a read. Educate yourself while you're doing it. No, I got no more hate. Fuck this movie. That's all I got to say. Just, I'm not interested. It's ruined my love of something that I've enjoyed for nearly 30 years. So, here you go.
And here's some adverts.
Yay! Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. But not watch Ghostbusters.
Greetings, podcast fans. I'm Mossman, off of 80s cartoon Masters of the Universe. And as you can imagine, since that cartoon finished, I've had plenty of time on my hands to check out all the geeky podcasts on the internet. And trust me when I say, the best one around is the Milking It podcast. They review films, TV, comics, wrestling, and anything else from the Week of Geek. And what's more, you can get it on iTunes, you can get it on Stitcher, or you can get it on direct link from the milkingitpodcast.com. That's milkingitpodcast.com. So, check out David Davis and the Totally Insane Tape Show's own Boulamont on the Milking It podcast now! Anyway, guys, gotta get going. I've just had a very strange text from Ram Man about his battered rosebud. Sounds like Fisto has been messing about in his garden again. Take it easy.
Shoot the Defence is the opinionated, entertaining football show with serious debates you're looking for. We have a variety of guests, from ex-footballers to journalists, members of parliament to athletes. Every month, former Chelsea, Swansea and Brighton striker Leon Knight weighs in with his opinions on night vision. So tune in on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, ShootDefence.com and the FNX Network. And let Stel, John, Mike and Stuffy give you a free football lesson. Follow us on Twitter at ShootTheDefence.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all fucking ages, my name is Dino Peppers and I have a question for you. Do you like this podcast you're listening to? Do you? Then you need to let us know. Head over to the Totally Insane Tape Show website at, conveniently, totallyinsanetapeshow.com and see all the platforms we are available on. As of this recording, you can listen to and watch us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and hey, even in video format on the YouTube network. Yes, YouTube. Video. Amazing, isn't it? Social networking? We have Twitter and Facebook covered. Go to 123 help, all the places that we are currently available to download, stream, and interact with. click the subscribe, like, RT, upvote and or share button, whichever is applicable for that site. Give the show the highest rating possible on that site. Leave a comment and review. It doesn't have to be Shakespeare. It doesn't have to be Dickens. It doesn't even have to be up to Dan Brown standards. A simple, great show lads will do. We're not worried if you're not as cunning a linguist as Mr. Lamont. Just leave a note to say how much you enjoy or dislike the show. Yes, dislike. We don't mind a well-thought-out critical comment from time to time, as long as you're not being a cunt about it. Because we want to improve, and your input is important to us. So I'll repeat that question. Do you like this podcast you are listening to? The address you can answer that on is totallyinsanetateshow.com. All the links are there, all the shows are there, and we want all of you there. Because as Boulamont always says,
highly recommended.
This blatant begging message was brought to you by the people at the Totally Insane Tape Show and 8oclockcomics.com. 8oclockcomics.com, we draw stuff.
Hey guys, this is Pete from Paint It Black Podcast. A lot of people ask me, why should I listen to your show? How would you describe it? Well,
horribly offensive.
Balls to the walls. A good time.
I don't know. All professional? I wouldn't be surprised if fucking Barney heard some screaming from next door.
Hey, yo, Fred, I got kicked out of the house. Can I stay with you guys for a little bit?
No, Barney. We're not friends like that.
You better go stay with Kazoo. Yeah.
Dum-dum, you should have said yes to your wife.
Can you imagine what Disney World would have been like had he lived longer?
No Jews?
It's the primary difference.
Yeah. I feel like he funded the Nazis in some way. Like, I can't prove it.
The first fucking model of their helmet had ears on it.
Oh, the Basketeer's coming over the hill. What the fuck's going on?
Dosan sounds like a Renaissance painter.
He was a fifth Ninja Turtle. He wasn't right in the head. They didn't really bring him out too much.
I'd like to fight the foot.
That's probably why they had all those stupid ass toppings.
Bubblegum.
Like, fuck, who let Dosan order the pizza?
I want stink bug.
Who put Legos on this shit? Can I give you money for sex?
I would enjoy you making a transaction for a blowjob.
Can I get a receipt with that pussy?
Oh, yeah. How do I follow this?
Do you wash those briefs with starch?
Make that booty clap, why don't you?
This is Painted Black Podcast, and you can like us on Facebook, on Twitter at PIB Comics, and check us out every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean.com, and PodcastNation.net.
Okay, a quick tiny review of a film I bought last year. It's a special edition case I got. It was like one of those viral videos. Essentially the owl in the old house people used to take pictures of. And they brought the big monster out. It's like a giant owl head on.
Was this the viral video that was going around? In fact, didn't we watch it on air? Where it was people being scared by the giant owl-headed person. And there was one guy that basically just gave up on life. He just put his hands in his head and was just going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Yeah.
He, like, just gave up on life.
I finally got around to watching the film. It's Lord of Tears. Lord of Tears. The quick review is bored to tears. I didn't even finish it. It was that awful.
Really?
I'm like all for people making like low budget independent stuff. But no, it's awful. Literally, I was like, is this gonna film gonna end now? And then something scary actually happened, and then I ruined it by like milking that one scary thing for 5 minutes or so. I was like, oh, I'm bored again now. Quite disappointed, really.
Like, really bad. I've never heard of you cutting off a film in the middle, sir.
I made it all the way through beyond Thunderdome by taking like breaks here and there. This one was like, I can't be arsed. And there's a whole thing of it's... I'll give you a quick story. Essentially, a guy, his mother dies. She inherits him two houses. One's like an old townhouse. The other one's like a big house in the country. A very big house in the country. and she tells him never to go there. So he goes there.
Of course.
And he finds a picture in one of the books or boxes, and it's like torn in half, and it's of him when he was really young. And the other half of the picture is missing, and it's torn off. And then he meets a young girl who's from America, and she lives on the grounds. And you go, yeah, she's the girl in the picture that's been torn off, and somehow she's still alive from the past. And then the film progresses very slowly, and it turns out that she's the girl in the picture from the past, but she's still alive somehow.
We don't know how it ends because you didn't watch the end.
No, it's like one scary bit when it suddenly dawns on him that that's the case, and like I say, they ruin it by sort of spending 5 minutes on some visual effect, scary in bunny ears sequence, and that's the point I turned off.
So the viral video that we saw was actually better than the sum of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Watch the viral video. I have no idea what it's called, but owl monster in deserted house.
Owl monster prank, I suppose. Or yeah.
I mean, in terms of the monster looks really good, but then it's using the film really badly.
Same costume.
It's the same gimmick.
He looks like a fucking kids' TV character. What?
But if you use it right, it's quite scary.
Have you seen this one, which is having this shit advertised out of it in America at the moment, called if you heard of this one, not seen it, called Gallows. And they're advertising it as the next big horror character. It said Freddy had his gloves, Jason had his machete, Michael Myers had his mask, you know, his white mask, and now... Charlie has his rope, has his noose, and that's his, you know, I don't know, they are advertising the shit out of this thing. Every time I watch an American show on every time I've been sent a legal video of an American television program and there's an advert break, they show this commercial maybe two or three times per break. So they've obviously wanted to do big business. It's weird that the horror thing, I mean, it's happening again. Scream TV, Ash versus the Evil Dead, loads of horror stuff coming to front again.
It goes through the period, so. I thought the new horror icon was Annabelle.
The little doll thing.
Yeah.
She's not on par with a Freddy or a Jason. Surely.
Yeah, but they've had.
I think
what film was she in originally? Because there's been three of those films.
Yeah, within 2 years. Yeah, why do they do this? Why do they make a horror film and they go, no, don't answer, it's a rhetorical question. It's money. The answer is money. But they go, oh, that made a film, it's really successful. Quick, we need to knock out a sequel within the next 10 months.
Yeah, but they've had, was it three of those films and then Annabelle, which is the prequel to it. And it's all based on a real-life doll. But I've not watched any of them. But I thought that was a new horror icon.
A big horror, the only horror icon I can really think of from the last kind of 10, 20 years would be the Saw Man's puppet, even though I've only seen the first Saw, and a Scream mask, Ghostface. Those are iconic.
Is Scream
characters.
In the last 20 years now?
Yeah, 90. Let's just consult the Oracle. 96? 19 years.
Barely 20 years.
Dude, it's 19 years old. Jesus. Oh my god. Anyway.
Depressing.
It's Buffy all over again. Hold on, Buffy's not 10 years old. Yes, Buffy's been off the air for 15 years. Shit.
Oh, that'll be coming back soon.
Really? Buffy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've announced some sort of remake in the works.
Really? Oh, remake. Yeah. Remake. Oh, I think, yeah.
Yeah, but that one you can kind of...
Did they say they were remaking the series or the movie?
I think it's just going to be a series.
No.
I didn't even know they did
it's a movie.
Until a couple of nights ago.
I've just looked up... Joss Whedon divulges news on the upcoming Buffy movie, and this was April 2015.
See, I can see that going to a TV series as well.
That's Joss Whedon's life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hold on, while we're talking about the feminist stuff, did we? How long's it been? Did we touch on the whole Black Widow feminists arguing with Joss Whedon that he made Black Widow look weak in the new Avengers movie? I'm there. Let's not open this. The can of worms is all over the floor already. But yeah.
I don't think we did, but
this fucking, why is everything so focused on gender at the moment? Doing my nut. And obviously, as long-time listeners, you know, we've jumped straight back into it. This is like a best of. Bully's been mad about gender. He's been mad about Ghostbusters.
So that was the thing I wrote, was pretty much my argument against it. If anyone asked me, like, or has an argument, and I'm just like, you just say, well, do your own thing then.
I like your little ranting blog on that. It's true. You don't like it, change it.
It's like, if you don't like it, yeah, go do your own thing, then show us what you want to see, and then we'll go, okay, that's quite good, or that's quite bad, but then you've still put your message across. And if it's really good, we'll go, okay, we'll work on that blueprint from now on. That model of storytelling, and then we can improve on that, and you can improve on that, and we can be a better race of people.
I'd like to teach the world.
Rather than just bitching about it on
blogs. I'd like to teach the world to sing. Perfect harmony. Come on, everyone, join hands. No, but you're right. There is a lot of infighting and fanboy arguing. It's a problem because I'm into movies and I'm into video games, and they are the two of the biggest, and comic books, obviously. It's like three of the biggest fanboy fucking subjects you can have. I love gaming. I've got my PlayStation, my Xbox, and my Nintendo. When people bitch and argue about, oh, you've got a fucking PlayStation, I've got an Xbox. Oh, you've got an Xbox, I've got a PlayStation. Oh, that sucks. No, you all suck. If you love gaming, you would love everything. Like, I love movies, I love everything. I love comic books, I love everything. That Furiosa argument, so what? It's a different take on a character that the writer of the comic book has been given free reign to do. Maybe if you weren't sitting on your asses complaining on the internet, you'd be given free reign by a creator of something you love to go and do. Me, personally, I'm going to rewrite the Bible. I'm making Jesus a woman. But, yeah, it's true. I might complain a lot on this show, but this is my forum for complaining. So get your own show and complain. And maybe I'll download and listen to it.
Yeah, when it's really good, we'll go, yeah, that's really good. And we'll try and better ourselves.
Exactly. Better ourselves. Make us want to be better. Yes.
And on that bombshell, that has been the Totally Insane Tape Show comeback special. We'll do another one in a month or so.
We will. We missed you guys. We thank you for all the messages you've inundated with us. And where's the show? And how is Dean doing? Is Bully like self-exploded from anger yet? And
where have these messages gone to?
Oh, yeah, loads of messages.
It's an email I've not seen.
An email, yes. That's what it was sent on, an email. But yeah. Thank you for keeping the dream alive, and thank you to all the random new likes on like the Tits page on Facebook and the Twitter, because even though you may not have heard a show yet, who knows, maybe you have. But yeah.
I think they have.
Yeah, I'd hope so. And don't forget, guys, you can vote for the Totally Insane Tape Show to be the UK Podcast Award Best Comedy and Entertainment Podcast.
I don't know if it's a general thing, but yeah, if you go to...
What have we been nominated for, Dean?
I think it's a general thing for a podcast. We just need to get to the as many nominations as possible when we get to the stage of being last four, last five, last six, whatever. I think it's like the Oscars. There's probably about 70 podcasts in the Best Podcast of the Year Awards.
Basically, kids, if you can go to ukpodcasters.com, that's ukpodcasters.com, and either search for the Totally Insane Tape Show or click on the movies and entertainment section. We are near the top because we have loads of lovely listeners and people that are interested in us. And just click that vote button. It won't take you a second. And if me and Dean do win an award, we're taking you all out for a beer. That's right. Terms and conditions apply. Card may be subject to change. Haha, we got it in there. Right.